All right, so we are in the book of Psalms. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, I don't understand what you are doing. I mean, you were kind of going Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel. Then you went from 1 and 2 Samuel, you went to Chronicles. You completely forgot 1 and 2 Kings. And then now you forgot 2 Chronicles and you're going to the book of Psalms. Well, I had a vision this morning as I was driving. I am just shocked. I am just shocked at how many of you this morning came like, Pastor, I thought you were cracking, man. I didn't know what you were doing. I thought you had lost it. I'm like, do you people have that little faith in me? I mean, good grief. But I'm glad you weren't just like going along with it. But no, so what I'm actually trying to do is we're going through the books of the Bible, but I want to do it more in like a chronological timeline, right? Is kind of what we're doing. So obviously, 1 and 2 Samuel deals with obviously the first king, Saul, and then of course, David, right? And then 1 Chronicles kind of goes into dealing with David and Solomon and things. So what we're doing is I'm trying to put books on more of a chronological timeline, right? So that's why we're looking at Psalms right now, right? We're going to look at Psalms. And then after the book of Psalms, which book do you think we're going to go to next?
Second.
You're all wrong. I don't even know what you said, but you're wrong because I messed up on this one, right? There's one book that we should have got much earlier, and that is Job. That's right. That's my fault. Job is the oldest written book in the Bible. And so I should have done Job basically right after Genesis, but instead I just kind of went through. And so we're going to do Psalms, and then we're going to do Job and try to get back on track here. And then after Job, anybody want to, I'm doing this so that the kids know where we're going to memorize scripture too, right? So after Job, we're going to get back on track. Anybody want any idea where we're going to go next? So we've done 1 and 2 Samuel. We've done 1 Chronicles. We've done Psalms. We're going to do 2 Chronicles. Right. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles, right? And then I'll let you know where we're going to go after that because, again, I'm trying to do this not just books of the Bible in order, but trying to do it chronologically on a timeline so that when you think of a book of the Bible, you know where it's at, not just in the order that it's put, but actually on a chronological timeline, right? Now, again, sometimes it's going to be a little bit hard because like when we get to the books of 1 Kings and 2 Kings, a lot of the prophet books, the major prophets, minor prophets, a lot of those are all in 1 and 2 Kings, right? So we may do 1 Kings and we may do a bunch of prophet books before we get to 2 Kings because of where they're at in the timeline, okay? So that's what we're doing. I thought I might explain that tonight. I heard that, you know, there was a bunch of kids mad at me last Sunday because I wasn't here and they memorized verses from 1 Kings and my dad did 1 Chronicles, right? And they were like, Dr. Brian, you don't know what you're doing, right? No, I asked him to do 1 Chronicles because we're doing this in a timeline area here, okay? So we are in the book of Psalms tonight, right? And if you don't know where the book of Psalms is, just basically close your Bible, figure out where the middle is, open it up, and most likely you'll land on Psalms, right? Maybe Proverbs, but most likely it'll be Psalms, okay? And so a couple, I always like to try to start with a couple fun things about the book that we're looking at, okay? Anybody know what the oldest psalm is? Now, there's only 150 of them. So you've got like 150 chance to get it right, okay? Anybody know what the oldest psalm is? Anybody? Matthew? Psalm what? 90, very good. He's learning something in college. That's really good. I'm glad to hear that, right? That's good. Psalm 90. Psalm 90 is the oldest psalm. Guess who it would be written by if it is the oldest psalm? Brother Rob? Moses, that's right. So it was written by Moses, okay? So Psalms 90 is the oldest psalm written by Moses. Anybody know what psalm is probably the most famous for the Lord's protection? Most famous for the Lord's protection. Psalm that'd be most famous for the Lord's protection. No. No. Anybody? Miss Jackie? Psalms 91. You learned something in Bible college too, didn't you? Man, I'm so impressed. Yeah. That's the pastor's wife right there. Yeah. I know. She writes it all anyway, so she knew, right? Yeah. I have to wear the coat because I've got bruises from this morning where she beat me for doing it. Yeah. Psalms 91 is the most famous psalm for the Lord's protection. Okay. Again, we don't have time to go through and read all these psalms. You can go through later on and read them. Some of the just amazing psalms that we find here. The most known psalm is Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd. That's the most known psalm. Okay. Which book is the longest book in the Bible? 119. Longest book in the Bible, not chapter. Longest book in the Bible is? Wrong. Psalms is not the longest book in the Bible. Nope. What? Jeremiah is the longest book of the Bible. Very good, correct. Second longest book of the Bible is?
Psalms.
Wrong. Don't you people read your Bibles? Come on. Second longest book in the Bible is? Wrong. No, close. It's Genesis. Second longest book of the Bible is Genesis, right? Third longest book of the Bible is? Well, it wasn't as strong that time. How many of you said Psalms? You're right, it's Psalms. Good job. Very good. Psalms is actually the third longest book of the Bible. A lot of times we think it's the longest just because it has 150 chapters, right? But many of the chapters are shorter and things. But yes, Jeremiah has over 33,000 words in it. Genesis has 32,046 words, and Psalms has 30,147 words. So Jeremiah is the longest, then Genesis, and then Psalms. No, I did not count them all, okay? Just in case you were wondering if I did. I did not. Now, as we get in here, again, you've got the paper here. Somebody asked me, my dad was like, how are you going to get Psalms in one service? And it's hard. Believe me, it's hard. But the whole idea is we're not going through every chapter. We're not looking at every point. It's an overview, okay? It's an overview. We could spend years going through the book of Psalms just by itself. But it's just an overview, okay? We're just getting an overview of the book, okay? Now, every book in the Bible has one main theme. Every book, doesn't matter if it's Genesis all the way through Revelation. Every book, the main theme is redemption. That's the main theme of every book. Redemption through Jesus Christ, right? And so even as we come through the book of Psalms, we see, again, redemption through Jesus Christ, okay? There is no system that can meet the need of salvation, right? There's no system, there's no religion that can meet that need. There's no system or religion that can provide salvation. Salvation can only come through a redeemer, and that is Jesus Christ. And that's what every book that we look through is all pointing to Jesus Christ. And I would say Psalms probably does it more than any other book in the Bible. Psalms point to Jesus. I mean, and you're going to see as we go through this, all right? So the theme of the book, and again, it's hard to grasp just one theme when you've got so many different authors, you've got so many different ideas and topics in 150 different chapters, okay? But I would say that the overall theme of the book is the believer's communion with God through worship, through prayer, and through praise, right? Our communion with God. And that's why I think the book of Psalms is probably one of the most read books of the Bible, right? Whether it's about worship, whether it's about prayer, whether it's about forgiveness, whether it's about praise. Man, many people come to the book of Psalms, okay? And of course, praise is a key word. It's actually used over 176 times throughout the book of Psalms, right? The word praise. The word bless or blessed and blessing are used 92 times, right? And again, we'll see some different areas here. The word Selah is used 71 times as we go through here, right? And the word Selah means, it means silence. It means a pause. There's an interlude, right? It's basically saying, stop and think about what you just read, right? Stop and think, ponder on it, meditate upon it. Don't just go on, stop and think, okay? And so you're gonna see that all throughout the book of Psalms as well. Now, an overview here, and again, this is where we're gonna spend some time on this overview and the structure of the book. You notice I didn't really put in the paper here any really notable characters. It's not about stories and things or accounts like what we've seen in other books. This is more dealing with praise and prayer and worship, as we'll see. Okay. But just an overview here. Okay. Obviously, the book of Psalms actually covers over 1,000 years. Okay. Because again, you have Psalms that are written by Moses, right? And then you have Psalms written by David and even Solomon and even King Hezekiah, right, who comes later on. So you're talking, these Psalms are, they're over 1,000-year period of time, okay? They cover 1,000 years, okay? And they cover every emotion that you can think of, from joy to thanksgiving to victory to fear to anger, to sadness, repentance. I mean, all the emotions that we go through in life, you're gonna find them here in the book of Psalms, okay? Of course, the human penmen, as I mentioned, there's many different men that God used to write different of the Psalms. Of course, David, we'll see, and we'll look at some of these, how many they wrote, but David, Asaph, Moses, Solomon, Hezekiah, the sons of Korah. There are some that are anonymous. We don't know who wrote them. But we'll look at some of this as we go through, right? So let's look, as we see here, there are many prophetic psalms that we'll see. Psalms 22 basically describes the crucifixion. When you read through Psalms 22, it's a picture of the crucifixion. You can go over there with me to Psalms chapter 22. So again, this is a prophetic psalm. And notice even the very first verse, right? The very first verse. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Anybody, does that verse sound familiar to anybody? Anybody know who, maybe a famous person other than the psalmist here who maybe quoted this verse?
Jesus.
About Jesus on the cross? Right? When he's hanging on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Right? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, I'm not silent, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. And I don't have time to read the whole chapter here, but just jump down with me to verse number 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Sounds similar to Isaiah, right? All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, saying he delighteth in him. Remember as Jesus is hanging on the cross and the people are passing by, they're laughing at him, they're mocking him, and even the Pharisees say, hey, you healed all these other people, you said you can deliver. How about you deliver yourself? Bring yourself down, right? Look down at verse number 12. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a raving and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Again, this is a picture of Jesus on the cross, even when they pierced his side and the water poured out. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. How are they able to see his bones? Because of the beating of the cat of nine tails that he endured before he even went to the cross. As they hung him there and they took the cat of nine tails and beat him, and his flesh would just be ripped off from the cat of nine tails. So they could see my bones. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. What did they do as he was hanging? The Roman soldiers cast lots for his clothes. I mean, all of this is prophetic. This is saying this is what's gonna happen. And you see it happening exactly the way God says. Chapter 24 speaks of the millennial reign of Christ, right? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Go down with me to verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. By the way, when Jesus came the first time, he didn't come to battle. He didn't come to battle, he came to die. But he's not gonna die again. Next time he comes to this earth, guess what he's coming to do? He's coming to battle. He's coming to rule and reign, right? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Look at the next word. Selah. Think about it. Ponder it. Meditate upon it, right? So speaking of the millennial reign of Christ, so a lot of the Psalms are prophetic. Really, the last verse of the book of Psalms, go with me to Psalms chapter 150. Psalm chapter 150. The last verse shows us really what the whole book is again, really about. Psalms 150, verse number 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. That's what Psalms about, praising God. Giving the one who deserves praise, giving him praise. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It's a call to worship God, to trust in his faithfulness, and that we can pour out our hearts before him. That no matter what circumstances we go through, he is worthy to be praised. No matter what takes place in our life, he is worthy to be praised. Psalms 150, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, when the temple stood in Jerusalem, the Levites would sing and play music, right? All throughout the day, the Levites would be singing. Okay, guess what they would sing? Psalms. They would sing psalms. Okay, there were special chapters for each day of the week that they would sing, as well as even special occasions. There are specific psalms that they would sing on special occasions. Psalms 113 to 118 are called the Hallel, which is the word praise. Okay. Which was sung when the Passover sacrifice was brought. So when they would bring the Passover sacrifice, they would sing Psalms 113 to 118. They would sing that together. Psalms 120 through 120 through 134 are called the Song of Ascent, or Songs of Ascents, right? They were sung by the Jewish pilgrims as they would make their way to Jerusalem for the annual feast. They would sing these psalms of ascent as they were going up to Jerusalem. They would praise God, right? They were praising God as they were going up. There are some other psalms that were to be sung at least three times a day. These psalms are called the Ashri. The word Ashri means the fortunate. That's what the word means. It's actually consisting of Psalms 84, verse 5, Psalms 144, verse 15, then they sing all of Psalms 145. So you're kind of right there. So you can see all of 145 is 21 verses there. And then they would end with Psalms 115, verse 18, right? This was called the Psalms, the Fortunate Song, right? And so it was called the Ashri, and they would just quote this or even sing this multiple times throughout the day, multiple times throughout the day. So what I thought it would be really neat to do tonight is to sing the Psalms. Now, again, I didn't know Shane was going to have a psalm, but that's not one of the psalms that they would sing. I mean, they would sing it, but not in that way. So what we're going to do is I'm going to challenge you to sing the Ashri, okay? So if you guys could just put the verse up there. So here is Psalms 84, verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee and whose heart are the ways of men. And you can see right underneath that, that is in Hebrew. That's Hebrew. Just so you know, English, Hebrew, right? And then the next verse should be Psalms, 144, verse 15, right? So happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Yay. So there it is. Again, it is in Hebrew. Again, those are English letters, by the way. We figured you couldn't figure it out if we put the Hebrew letters up there. Okay. It's in English, but it's in Hebrew, right? And then Psalms 145, we're not going to put the whole Psalm 145 up there, but notice, and even you'll notice, even in the, as they sing it, they would actually sing, if you can see the Hebrew, it says, Tihe la David. So they would actually sing, because it is a Psalm of David, they would actually put Psalm of David in there as they sing it, okay? So what I'm going to do is, I've actually got this, and we're going to, you're going to listen to the first two, you're going to listen to Psalms 84:5, Psalms 144:15, and then I think it's the first three verses. Is it three verses of Psalms 145? Is that right? The three verses? Yep. All right. So guys, can you go ahead and play it? Follow along as you can, as the guy sings it. We good? Can't hear it. This is all part of it. It's building up. Yeah, this is the thing. Start it over. Can't get it in the middle. All right, are you ready? We good? All right, go for it. See if you can follow the words. Next.
Ashrei yom shekocholoi, Ashrei yom shadoi shem eloikov, Tehila li David, aroi mimicho, Elokai ha-melech, Vavoricho, shimicho li oilam vod, Bichol yoim avorcheko, Vahalilo, shimicho li oilam vod, Kodui ladui shem mehul al miyoy, Beligidu la soyein cheike.
All right, we're going to stop it there, right? You guys got it? Okay. We're going to start it over. You guys are going to have to, you're going to sing it, all right? So we got, again, he just sang it for you, right? Should be easy as pie, okay? So we're going to do it, okay? So we're going to start it over. Try as best as you can. See if you can sing it along with it, right? Go ahead, guys.
Ashrei yoshvei veisechoi dehalelucha selo Ashrei yom shekocholoi Ashrei yom shadoi shem eloikov Tehila li David aroi mimicho Elokai ha-melech Vavoricho shimicho li oilam vod Bichol yoim avorcheko Vahalilo shimicho li oilam vod Kodui ladui shem mehul al miyoy Beligidu la soyein cheike.
Some of you were just like on it the whole time. Some of you had no, I think you were lost from the very first word, right? How many of you have ever sung a Hebrew song before? Anybody? All right, a couple of you, all right? So I told you, I said this morning, I'm not going to say that most of you have never done this. I want to say the majority of you have never done what we're going to do tonight, right? So now you can say, you tried to sing a Hebrew song, okay? You tried, all right? But that's what they would do, right? And so they would sing these psalms. And it's just, and it's amazing. That's what these were for, to be able to be sung, okay? And again, you can actually go online and you can actually listen to many of the Hebrew psalms as they're being sung. You could try to sing the English words in it. It's not going to quite match up all the way. But honestly, when I first heard it, I thought, man, that's beautiful. That's pretty awesome, right? Shane and Levi were trying to do some Russian, you know, dance or something in there. I'm not sure what they were doing, but, you know, anyway. Let's look at the structure of the book, because here's where it gets really, really fascinating, right? The structure of the book. So the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, contains 24 books. Say, now, wait a minute. We have more than 24 books in the Old Testament in English. How many books do we have in the Old Testament in English? Old Testament in English.
39.
We have 39. Right? We have 39 books in the Old Testament in English. In the Hebrew scriptures, there's only 24. Now, again, have to remember, many of them, like 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, we split the books, they would be together, right? And so they actually divide into three groups, right? They divide the Old Testament books into three groups. The Torah, which is what we call the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses, is called the Torah, right? Those are the first five. Then they divide the Nevi'im. So after the Torah, you have the Nevi'im, which is the prophets, okay? So you have the Torah, first five, then you have the prophets. Then after the prophets, you have what is called Ketuvim, which is the writings, okay? The writings, the first book of the writings or of the Ketuvim is, guess which book? It's not a trick question this time. Psalms. It's the book of Psalms. That's the first book of the writings, okay? Now again, there's multiple authors, as I said. It is believed that David wrote about over 70 of the Psalms. Asaph, who was a Levite chief of the musicians. By the way, can I say, anybody that tells you that God is against music and music should not be part of worship has never read the Bible. Music is to be a part of worship. Now, it needs to be the right music. There's right music and there's wrong music, right? But music, I mean, there was a group of Levites, the sons of Korah, that was their job, was to worship through music. I'd say God kind of thought it was important, right? So you have Asaph, he wrote 12 of the Psalms, the sons of Korah. These were Levites who served in the temple. They wrote 10. Moses wrote a couple. Solomon wrote a couple. King Hezekiah wrote 10 of the Psalms. And then, of course, there's many anonymous ones that we're not sure necessarily who it was that wrote it. Again, we know it's the Holy Spirit of God that gave these men to write. We just don't have an author as far as a penman. Now, Psalms is divided into five sections or five books, okay? And these five sections actually mirror the five books of the Torah or the first five books of the Bible. And this is what's really fascinating about the book of Psalms, okay? Each of these five are gonna mirror the first five books of the Bible. And each of them end, as they finish that section, they end with a doxology of praise to God. And then it goes into the next book, right? So chapters 1 through 41 correspond with Genesis, right? So chapters 1 through 41 are corresponding with Genesis, and it's dealing with God's counsel concerning man, right? God's counsel concerning man. So Genesis begins with God's divine blessing on man, right? God blesses man. He creates man. He blesses them. Guess what we find in Psalms chapter 1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So there's a correlation between Genesis 1 through 41 and the book of Genesis, dealing with God's counsel concerning man. And by the way, the only way a man can be blessed is from a right relationship with God. You cannot be blessed if you don't have a right relationship with God. This is what Psalms 1 through 41 are going to correlate with. Chapters 42 through 72 correlate with the book of Exodus. Chapters 42 through 72 are dealing specifically with Israel, accounting of back what happened with Israel. Chapters 42 through 49, you see Israel's ruin. Talks about Israel's ruin. Chapters 50 through 60 talk about how Israel needs a redeemer because they have fallen. Chapters 61 through 72 talk about their redemption, Israel's redemption, right? Again, just very quickly, we're not going to be able to look at all of these, but go to Psalms chapter 69, verse number 4. So again, this is part of the redemption Psalms here, right? Chapter 69, verse 4. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restore that which I took not away. Again, does anybody notice anything particular about the first part of chapter, or verse number 4? That's quoted in the New Testament by Jesus. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. How about, and again, we don't have time to look at all these. There's so many here. If you go down to verse number 14, deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters, let not the water flood overflow me. Neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. What's he doing? He's crying out to God, right? He's crying out for redemption. And again, just all throughout here, this psalm is quoted 7 times in the New Testament. 7 different times, Psalm 69 is quoted throughout the New Testament. Again, if you go back up in verse number 7, we find prophecy. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. How about verse 9? For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Remember, after Jesus has ascended, and remember the disciples remembered what Jesus said, the zeal of mine house hath eaten me up, right? So again, all of these looking forward to the Redeemer. Psalms 73 through 89 correspond with the book of Leviticus, right? The book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus deals with the sanctuary, right? The sanctuary. It begins with, well, again, you just got to go to this, right? This is amazing, right? By the way, some of you, it may even, in your Bibles, it may even break it up. Some of you may have, like right here, before we look at Psalm 73, right above it, it might say book 3. How many of you have that in your Bible? Yeah, so some of you already see that, right? This is that division we're talking about, okay, right? Notice, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So here you have Psalm 73 beginning this new book here, right? And it's beginning with a man who is faltering in his faith because of what he's seeing around him. He's seeing the wickedness around. He's seeing how it seems like the wicked are improving, the wicked are doing well, and the righteous are not. And he's faltering in his faith. He said, I was envious. My feet were nigh, almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, right? So he's talking about this, and then what does he say? Until, verse number 17, I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. He said, man, I was about to fall spiritually, right? He says, until I went into the sanctuary, and then I got into God's presence, and I understood, hey, their end is destruction. Yeah, they might have it good here, but guess what? That's all they get. That's all they got. Yeah, we might have it a little difficult here, but man, we got it good to come, don't we? I don't even know if that's proper English, but we got it good to come, right? So he begins with this, right? And we go through this from 73 to 89. Are you ready for this? From Psalm 73 to Psalms 89, the sanctuary is mentioned in almost every psalm in this section. Almost every psalm here speaks of the sanctuary. And again, it's just, again, because it's dealing with the sanctuary, it's dealing with God, right? Psalms 90 through 106, right? So here's the fourth book here. It corresponds with the book of Numbers, okay? The book of Numbers. This group begins with one written by Moses. So Moses is the one that writes Psalm 90. And it ends, Psalms 106, with one recounting of Israel's rebellion in the wilderness. And throughout the Psalms here, every reference to death in Psalms 90 is a collective reference, right? When you read through the book of Psalms, chapter 90, it's a collective reference. It's us, it's we, it's our, referring to death. But then when you move into Psalms chapter 91, the reference to salvation is all individual. I, me, mine, right? What are we seeing here? In Psalm 90, look, all die. Everybody's gonna die. But only those who put their faith in Jesus Christ receive salvation. And this is what he's showing through the book of Psalms, right? Again, it's all pointing to redemption, yeah? Psalms 107 to 150 correspond with Deuteronomy. And this is focusing on the spiritual life, right? The spiritual life that is being sustained through the word of God, through God's word. Psalms 107 through 150. How many of the young people tonight quoted Psalms 119:11? What's that say? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. They quoted Psalms 119:111. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, right? So from Psalms 107 all the way through to the end, 150, it focuses on the spiritual life that is sustained by God's word. Look, we talked about that this morning. It is so vital and so important that Christians get in the word of God. You're not in the word of God, you're not gonna have a spiritual life. You're not gonna grow spiritually. You're not gonna draw close to God with, apart from his word. And notice what he says in Psalms 107. Go with me to Psalms 107. In Psalms 107, notice what God says he sends. Psalms 107, verse number 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. God has given us his word. By the way, the only way that you can know of salvation, the only way you can be saved is through his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He sent his word. Psalms 109, again, shows us the betrayal and the rejection of Jesus Christ. But then in Psalms 110, it shows us our great high priest. Psalms 110, go over there with me. Again, there's just so much to look through. We just don't have time to look through it all. But Psalms 109, again, goes through his rejection, his betrayal. But then in Psalms 110, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. We've seen that in the New Testament. That's quoted in the New Testament. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of the power and the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. See, here's the high priesthood of Jesus. It's being prophesied. It's being referred to, right? Psalms 110, verse 1, again, is quoted and referred to seven times in the New Testament. Psalms 118 celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Psalms 119 exalts his word. It's exalting the word of God. People say, boy, man, I don't want to read Psalms 119. It's such a long chapter. Man, think about all that's in it. Psalms 119:97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Out of Psalms 119, there's 176 verses in it. Psalms 119, 176 verses. All 176 verses except three directly mention God's word. All 176 except three directly mention the word of God. You think maybe God's trying to show us how important his word is? And yet, what do? Well, you know, if I get time to read it, maybe I will. You know, I'll just, you know, take it home, put it on the coffee table, put it on a bookshelf. Next Sunday rolls around. Oh, it's time to go to church. I guess we better pull out the Bible. See, it's not important to us. And yet God says, if you truly want to have a spiritual life, it comes from your time in the Word of God. Read through the book of Psalms 119, or through chapter 119, and just notice the emphasis that God keeps putting on his word, keeps putting on his word, keeps putting on his word, keeps putting on his word. We need it, right? What's really interesting about each of these sections is that the fourth chapter of each of these sections, so this would be chapter 4, right? That's the fourth chapter in that section. Chapter 45, chapter 76, chapter 93, and chapter 110 all deal with the Lord's dominion here on the earth. The fourth book of each of the fourth chapter of each of those books, as we divide it into five, all of them deal with the Lord's dominion here on the earth. Again, there is just so much through the book of Psalms. We see the attributes of God in Psalms, his eternality, his glory, his goodness, his holiness, his justice, his majesty, his mercy, his omnipotence, his omnipresence, his omniscience, his providential care, his unfailing love, his uniqueness. I was really struggling because, like, you know, I want to show Christ in the book, but honestly, the whole book is about Christ. The whole book is about him. It's hard just to take one thing and say, okay, here we see Christ in the book. He's everywhere in the book. He is all through the book of Psalms. If there would be five words that you could use to describe Psalms, I would say it's praise, prophecy, pain, petition, and poetry. In praise, the psalmist worship God, thanking the sovereign God for who he is, for his word, his works. Prophecy, many prophecies about the coming Messiah, foretelling his zeal, his suffering, his death, his ascension, his resurrection, his high priestly work, and the coming millennial reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. There is pain. The psalmist describes in graphic fashion doubts, fears, failures. Have we not all had those? They're in Psalms. His petition, the psalmist offers up many requests, crying out for relief, for forgiveness, for reassurance, for direction, for protection, for strength. Isn't it amazing that it seems like the Psalms are the ones we go to when we're in dire straits? Boy, when things are going bad, that's when we run to the Psalms. Hey, don't just run to the Psalms when you're in dire straits. Don't just run to the Psalms when things are going wrong and bad. Man, they're there for every season of life. Yeah, thank the Lord they're there for those difficult times as well. Of course, poetry, the psalmist pens his words in poetic fashion, some of them to be sung. Again, just a lot of it doesn't translate from Hebrew into English, how they use different words and the different alphabet, the letters of the alphabet in Hebrew and things. Just it's just amazing how they did it. But again, I know there's I've got to kind of wind it up here because I don't want to take forever. But when we think about Christ in the book, the whole account of Jesus' suffering is in Psalms. And this is why Jesus says in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, he says, "And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." He says, I'm doing all this to fulfill everything that was written. But did you notice Jesus broke up the Old Testament into three? Did you just notice that? Remember what I say? In the Hebrew, the Hebrew is broken up into three. There is the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. There is the prophets, and then there's the writings, the Psalms. What does Jesus say here in Luke chapter 24? That all things must be filled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. Remember, the Psalms is the very first book of the writings. You know what Jesus is doing? Not only is he giving his stamp of approval on everything Old Testament, praise the Lord for that, right? But he's saying, it's all about me. He just said everything in the Old Testament, Moses, prophets, writings, it's all about me. It's all concerning me. That's what he says. That all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and then the prophets and then the Psalms concerning me. Look, you cannot read through the Old Testament and not see Jesus. Can't do it. Because it's all about him. It's all about Jesus. Titles we find of him in the Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. He is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my king. He is my shield. He is my light and my salvation. He is my stronghold. He is my refuge. He is my help. He's my deliverer. He's my hiding place. All throughout the songs, it all is showing what Jesus is for us. Again, you can't read through Psalms and not see Jesus. But we do find him all through it. His deity and his universal reign we find in chapter 2. His incarnation, though he is Lord of creation, in chapter 8. We find his eternal reign in chapter 72, the marriage of the Lamb in 45, the eternal king and priest in chapter 100, rejected by the leaders of the nation in Psalms 118, an everlasting kingdom in Psalms 132, the prophetic office in chapter 22, his priestly office in chapter 40, chapter 22, chapter 49, chapter 110, his kingly office, his suffering, his resurrection. It's all about him. It's all through the book of Psalms. And I know sometimes we can look at scripture and we're like, well, that just doesn't apply. Oh, I'm telling you, there is so much through the book of Psalms that we can learn from, that we can glean from, of who he is, what he's done for us. Some of the young people might know this, but the middle verse in all of the Bible, the exact middle verse in all the Bible is in Psalms 118. And it's verse number 8. And here's what it says. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. The heart, the very middle verse in all the Bible, the very heart is what God is trying to show us. It's better to trust the Lord. Don't put confidence in man. Don't put confidence in anything else. Don't put confidence in the government. Don't put confidence in anything else. You put your faith and trust and your confidence in the Lord, because he's never going to change. He's never going to change. He's going to be right there with you no matter what you go through. He's going to give you the strength that you need. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Father, I pray you'd help us. Lord, just again, just as we take these snapshots of scripture, look, you would help us to have a greater hunger for your word, a greater understanding of it. Lord, just as we read, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Lord, help us as Christians to truly have a greater love for your word. Lord, if we truly want to have a spiritual walk and a spiritual life, we cannot do it apart from your word. And yet so often we casually treat your word just like it's another book. Lord, would you give us a greater love for it, a greater hunger for it, Lord, as we look at these different snapshots of Scripture, that it would just help us see a little bit more of what you have for us. Lord, that we would just want to get into a little bit more. To take these papers and things of some notes and things that we've written down and to go back and look at them again and just see who you are all throughout Scripture. Because it all is pointing to Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. How he was willing to come and redeem us back to himself. And how we have an opportunity to use the life that you've given us now in Christ to serve you and to honor you and to glorify you in the time that we have here on this earth. So, Father, I pray you'd help us just to love your word more. Help it to be the light that we need in our life, to guide us. Help us to go to it with the questions that we have, the struggles that we have, the joy that we have. May we go to your word, Lord, in all that we do. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.